Today what I want to do is I want to conclude our current collection of talks that were called Created for Community. How many were here last week and you heard that promise that it was going to be the last week? I made that promise, so I come to you today asking for forgiveness. Okay, will you forgive me? So, because what I want to do today, there's some additional thoughts that came across my mind concerning community this week. And I said, instead of bringing them up later, before we move on to the next thing, why don't we just take care of those things now? So we're going to just continue just one more week to look at this series, Created for Community. And what I want to do is I want to read our go-to passage for this series. So if we can just stand to our feet one more time. I'll read it this morning because I didn't give Heather the heads up, so I'm going to read it. So follow along. It says, all the believers, we're reading out of Acts chapter 2, Acts 2. So that goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts 2. It said, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper, into prayer. It says, a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs, and they performed wonders because they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 44, and all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. Verse 45, they sold their property and they sold their possessions and they shared the money with those people who had a need. Doesn't that sound like a great place to be? And then verse 46, they worshiped together at the temple each day and they met in homes for the Lord's Supper and they shared their meals with great joy and they shared it with great generosity. Verse 47, all the while they were praising God, they were enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, a miracle was taking place. Each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So, Lord, we thank you for your word. I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you will be at work in this service, that you will touch people's hearts. Give us ears that hear. Give us eyes to see and take in spiritual truth. And we just ask for your presence as we conclude this series together today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. You may be seated. So what we've been doing, and by the way, I would just encourage you right now to begin to look for a pen, okay? You're going to need a pen today, and begin to look for that scribble sheet of paper if you need a piece of paper to write on, okay? So just get that ready, because in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to do something. Well, anyway, in this series, we've been asking the why question. The why question. Everybody just say the why question. Okay. And I'm kind of, Mark, I'm stopped here. So if you want to advance the why question. And here's the why question we've been asking in this series is why is this Christian community we've been talking about week after week after week so important, okay? And the second question that follows along with this question is why is it important that we surround ourselves with other Christ followers? So that's what we've been trying to get at is the why. Because here's the deal, I know a lot of us have a lot of other things on our plate, a lot of other things in our schedule, and here I am trying to introduce you to say, hey, there's something else that's really important that you need to get on your schedule, and that's Christian community. Why is that so important? Tell me, Mike, because I need to be convinced before I say I'm going to do one more thing and put one more thing on my schedule. So that's why we've been trying to convince you with the why question. And from the very beginning, week one, we said Christian community is so important because it's the vehicle that God uses to grow our faith, okay? Meaning this, that we grow spiritually when we're in community with other believers. And see, the point I've been trying to make throughout this series is you need to be careful because the Christian life was never intended to be lived out, to be cultivated in solitude. We don't grow when we're off on our own doing our own thing, okay? That's a very dangerous place to be. But if we're serious about wanting to grow in our faith, we need to surround ourselves with other believers. We need to be connected. We need other Christians, okay? So what I want to do is I want to stop and pause here, and I have an additional thought that has really been grabbing my attention in the past several weeks. And it's a quote that I actually heard on a podcast where somebody was interviewing a guy named Pastor Jeremy Foster in Texas. He's got this church that's just exploding, and God's doing amazing things, and that's the first time I heard the quote I'm about ready to share with you. But since then, about four or five other times, I've read this quote. And I've discovered this in my life. When God speaks to me, it's not an audible voice. I've never heard God speak audibly. But one of the ways in which God often speaks to me is that there's this continual message that God brings to my attention several different times, several different ways. And this is one of the things that God has been speaking to my heart. And I don't think it's only for me. I think it's for all of us. So I want to share this quote by a guy named Jim Rohn. Jim Rohn. And what he is he's this business leadership guru. So he's a guy with a very brilliant, brilliant mind. And I want you to write this quote down because this quote can make a huge difference in your life. If you're not used to taking notes in church, make this the day that you cross over into new territory, okay? New territory today. We're going to scout some new, and I want to share this quote. This is gold, you guys. If you grab onto this, you're going to go places you've never been before. Jim says this. He says, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. That is worth, you can tweet that out too after service, or even maybe during service. Tweet that out. You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. What Jim is saying there is he's saying what's happening is you're becoming more and more like the five people that you spend the most time with. Like it or not, believe it or not, because I think there's some people think, well, that's true of other people. They're easily influenced, but I'm strong. I'm above that. But the truth is, we're all the result of the five people that we spend the most time with. And Jim goes on to talk about how this is true in every area of your life. He said it's true when it comes to your health. I mean, if I'm going to hang out with my five people and they're health conscious, and they're into eating the right food, and they're into making sure that I'm exercising. After a while, that spirit gets on me, and now instead of eating Twinkies, I'm eating salads. You know what I mean? So it begins to rub off on you. Just the five people, that message of their life begins to rub off on you. It's really, really important. He said that's true about your attitude. The five people that you hang out with, their attitude's going to become your attitude if you're not careful. So if they have poor attitudes, if they have negative attitudes, if they have this attitude that the world's against me, guess what? That's going to get all over you. Because the Bible talks about how each and every person has a spirit. And each and every person's spirit, you get that spirit when you hang around them. It becomes contagious. It gets on you. I had a youth pastor years ago. She used to say, spirit reproduces spirit. She's saying exactly what Jim's saying. Show me the people that you're hanging around. That spirit's going to get on you if you're not careful. Okay, I just want you to hear that this morning. Interesting enough, he said, even the five people you hang around, that even impacts your income. I thought that was very interesting. And it's really true of each and every one of us. So here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you a little homework if you accept the challenge. And I pray that you do because this homework assignment has the potential to really change the direction of your life. So please, I plead with you this morning, please take notes. Please take these two questions that I want to share with you this morning. And the first question is this. I want you this week, don't do it right now because you'll go through it too flippantly. I want you to really consider for the next 5 days, who are the five people in your group? Okay, who are the five people in your group? Who are the five people you're spending the most time with? Nolan and I last night took a walk. It was a beautiful time. It was a beautiful evening. I went for a walk. Nolan said, can I go with you? We went on this walk together. And I said, Nolan, I want to share with you a quote. Because he's just about ready to go off on his own. And I'm trying to prepare him. And I'm saying, Nolan, I want to share with you a quote. And that is, you're going to become like the five people you spend the most time with. And so what I did is I began to share with Nolan who are the five people in my life because I've been thinking about it all week. And then Nolan, man, he just rattled off the five people, the 1, 2, 3, 4. He's like, Dad, these are my five people. And it's very important. So what I want to do, I double dog dare you. I challenge you to say, take the time to write down the five people, not the five people you want to hang out with, the reality, who are the five people that you're really spending the most time with, okay? Hopefully, if you're married, one of those people is your spouse, okay? So I'll just give you a little heads up and a little direction. So that's the first question. Make your list. Who are the five people? But the second question is so important, the follow-up question, and that is this. Is that group of people helping you to become who you want to be? Somebody needs to say, wow. So let me say it again, then you say, wow. It's that group of people. Are they helping you to become who you want to be? Wow. So for me, you need to start with the end in mind. Who is the person that you want to be? Who is that person that I want to be? I thought of it this week. I want to be on fire. I want to be a faith-filled Christian. So for me, if I want to be that, I need to begin to hang out with other on fire, faith-filled Christians. Because when I hang out with them, that spirit gets on me and it's contagious. Versus if I hang out with negative people who are downers, I'm going to be a downer. That makes sense to everyone. So here's the question I thought this week as I was preparing the lesson. What if the answer to number two, that second question, is no? What if you look at your list and you say, no, those people don't help me to achieve who I want to become. So what should I do? Should I take out my phone and send a text and say, hey, you're off the list? How many people say, of course not? That's not very grace-driven. We're supposed to be people of grace. But as I told Nolan last night, I said, Nolan, what do you think we should do if those five people aren't helping us to become who we want to be? And I loved his answer. He said, Dad, you begin to gradually take in some new people. You don't have to make an announcement that you're off the list. I never want to see you again. That's not Christ-like. But what we need to do is we need to begin to be intentional about looking for those people and saying, you don't even have to say anything, but you need to be intentional about making sure that you're going to spend more time. You get to choose who you spend time with. Who are you choosing to spend time with? So I think Jim is right on the ball. We become like the five people that we hang out with. So I think it's very wise that if we stop and we ask ourselves, who are the five people? Are these five people getting me where I want to go? I think that would be a great homework assignment. So I challenge you this week to take some time. It doesn't have to be one chunk of time all at once. You can process this even while you're walking, even while you're driving. Just begin to ask yourself, who are the five in my life? Are those five people getting me where I want to go? And that's very, very important. That's why Christian community is so important. We need other believers, because the second reason we said why Christian community is important, because everybody needs a spiritual support system. We need those people who are going to spiritually give us support and encouragement, because there's time in the Christian walk where it gets difficult. There's time in the Christian walk where you might just want to give up, throw in the towel, and say, I'm done. And what you need then is you don't need a bunch of people saying, yeah, I knew that wouldn't work for you. You need people around you saying, hey, fight the fight. Continue to walk through the fire. Continue to go forward. People who become spiritual cheerleaders. That's why we need Christian community. So these are just a couple reasons why this is important. So what does Christian community look like? That's what we've been looking at in Acts chapter 2. And we're going to fly through this information real quick because I got some great stuff I want to share with you as we get towards the end. Week 1, we talked about the people were devoted. That means they were all in. This Christian community in Acts 2, they were devoted, they were all in. We see that they were devoted to four things: the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing meals, and to prayer. To prayer. I just want to hit on this one quickly, the first one. The apostles' teaching basically for us today means they were devoted to the word. Recently at a board meeting, our last board meeting, we talked about how we don't have enough opportunities as a church for people to get into the word because so many things have happened. So we're saying we got to get back to providing more opportunities. So one of the things we're looking to do possibly in the fall is to include Wednesday night Bible study for adults again. Why? Because we need to give people more opportunities. What will that look like? Where will that be? We'll let you know as the summer goes along. Week 2, we looked at how this church was filled with generosity. These people were generous. They were generous with their time. They gave their time. They gave their talent. They gave their treasure. They said, all these things aren't ours, but they're God's, and we want to use God's time, talent, and treasure to build God's kingdom. How many people know Christians are supposed to be kingdom builders? Amen? We're supposed to be using time, talent, and treasures to build the kingdom. We need to be generous. Week 3, we talked about how they met together, and they met together in community. We see the word was frequently, meaning this: they simply placed a high priority on Christian community. It's hard to do today. There's so many other things consuming our time. There's so many other options, but we need to make sure that we take at least a day a week, a moment a week, where we say, God, we're going to prioritize coming together in community. And then last week we talked about, does anybody remember, we talked about growth. We read in the text, it says in verse 47 that the church was growing each day, and it was the supernatural activity of God that was making it happen. It wasn't because the leaders were brilliant. It was all because God was showing up in his sovereignty and his power, and the church was growing and people were being saved every day. How many people would love to be a part of a church like that? Say amen. How many people would love to be a part of a church like that? Say amen. Wouldn't it be great if people got saved every week? And it doesn't mean they would have to come up here. Maybe it was through a conversation. Maybe it was elsewhere. Maybe it was in your backyard. By the way, I was so jacked up last week because my neighbor has come to church again last week. It was awesome. She's coming uninvited now. And I just think it's awesome what God's doing, and it's the activity of God. Amen. We need to keep praying for those people. God, be at work in their life. And by the way, we know that God brings all the growth, but last week we talked about how there's two things that we can do to prepare the soil for God to be at work. Does anybody remember for $50? Does anybody remember what those two things that we can do to help prepare the soil for God to move? Anybody? One of the two. No one. Great job last week, Mike. You really were impactful. Okay, we said that we need to be a church where there's what? Love. Oh, there you go. Now, forget it. You missed out on the first one. You missed your opportunity. So we said that if we're going to be a church that's growing, where God's at work, there's soil preparation. There's things that we need to do. We need to make sure we're prioritizing love. We need to be people. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, the greatest of these is love. Everybody say that together. The greatest of these is love. Love is a magnet. Love draws people. And we need to be unified, because when there's people who are unified, God can do amazing things. So the whole outcome of last week was this: the love that we have for each other and the unity that we have with each other prepares the soil for what only God can do. Okay. Is everybody all caught up? Catch your breath. Maybe I just need to catch my breath. Because this is where I want to spend the majority of our time this morning as we close here this morning, this series, is I want to conclude this series by sharing from my heart. And the thoughts that I'm going to share here as we conclude this series of talks, it comes from an article that came across my desk that came to my attention, and I've read it several times. Sometimes I've read it casually, other times I read it as part of my devotional life and praying over this article as God has prompted my heart. And actually, the name of the article is this. This is the title of the article. It says, How Weekend Church Services Will Change in the Future. So this guy kind of has like a little prophetic voice. He's been looking ahead. He's been studying church cultures, not only stateside, but across the world. And he says, this is how the church services are going to change in the future. Okay? So in this article, and by the way, the writer of the article is a guy named Kerry Newhoff, and some of us know who Kerry is. We've been going through a study together. And in this article, he mentions that there's five changes that are going to happen in church services in the near future. He actually says that some of these changes are already happening. And don't worry about it. We're not going to go through all five. And everyone said, oh, thank you, Jesus. We're only going to look at two this morning. And there's two things that are going to change, and I believe they're already changing, okay? Allow me to mention them. First of all, he says this is the big change, and basically you need to understand the context. He does a lot of research with what they're calling Gen Z. And basically those are people from grave to probably about age 22, 23. And so this guy has a pulse on Gen Z, okay? And he's saying, this is what I'm finding as I spend time with these people. And I love this first one. He says, this is what's going to change in the future. He said, the gathering on Sunday morning will be more than an experience. It will be less of a show. And I don't know about you, that excites me, because that's right where we're at as a Pentecostal church. Amen? It's not going to be all about all the lights. It's not going to be about the fog machines. It's not going to be that we sang the newest Chris Tomlin song, okay? It's not going to be of Pastor Mike's self-help sermon, but he says it's going to be more about the experience. And I want to just read with you just a quote on that topic. He says this. He says, when people show up at church these days, he says they want to experience God. They don't want to just sing a few songs and hear a helpful message. They want God more than they want even advice. I think that is fantastic. And I am, to be honest with you, I am super excited about this. Okay? That people, they want to experience God. And what he says in the article, he's saying people have the opportunity now. You can go and you can listen to the best worship music online. You can go listen to the best church sermons online. But he's saying people are looking for a place to go where they can come and not only hear and see those things, but they want to experience God. They want to experience God. So what that means to me is when a hurting person, a person who's down and out, somebody who is hopeless, when they come to a church service, you know what they want? The songs are great. The preaching's great. Those are good. Those are vehicles that God uses, certainly. But when there's somebody that's hurting, they're at the end of their rope, and life isn't making sense, and they're full of pain. Maybe they're going through a divorce. Maybe they're going through a broken relationship. Maybe they lost a job. You fill in the blanks. Maybe life isn't working out the way they planned it to work out. You know what those people are looking for? They're looking to have an experience with God. Just last, not yesterday, but a week ago yesterday, Heather and Noel and I went to a church service on Saturday night. And we love the church more, if for anything, is the worship is just so engaging, so amazing, engaging. I love the engagement. It doesn't even matter what's going on in the platform. I'm enthralled with the engagement of the people in the congregation. And every week, it literally brings me to tears. Not literally, but in my heart, it brings me to tears. I love seeing the engagement of God's people raising their hands, just lost in the presence of God. So last week I have, I'm sitting there and we got our friend that we always sit by. He's on my left. Then I got Heather on my right. And then I got Nolan next to Heather. And we're standing in this worship service and we're singing these songs. And I open my eyes and I do this often because I love to see how everybody's just so into it. So I look off to my left, the very row ahead of us, I look off to my left and there's this young lady, she's in her 20s. And as I look at her, the thing that caught my attention is there's just these streams of tears just flowing down her cheeks. And as I kept, every song, four songs, every song, just streams of tears just flowing down her cheeks. And that touched my heart because, you know what, I don't know what she came to church with that day, but I'm pretty sure she didn't leave with it. Amen? I'm sure there was hurt, there was pain, there was things that were obviously going on in her life. But I think she was able to leave differently because how many people know that one moment in the presence of God can change everything? Were you hearing me this morning, you guys? One moment in the presence of God, not emotion, not something we conjure up, we manipulate. No, one moment in the very presence of God can change everything. Please don't respond to this question. It would be very awkward. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever sincerely experienced the presence of God? Can you think of a time when you just knew that you were in the presence of the Lord? Folks, that's what I want for this church. I want people to be able to come in here and not hear Mike's preaching, not hear our songs. God will use those, absolutely. But I want this to be a place where people can come. And our top value is we value the presence of God. Because I believe it's the presence of God that gets to a person's heart. And he changes what's going on in people's lives. And that's what the generation that now is raising up, they want. They want a church where they can say, hey, I know I've been around this, but I want God. And that's my prayer for all of us. Are we people that want God? That we want to come and say, God, I want to meet with you today. Because I got things in my life that only you can take care of. Amen? So Lord, let's just bow our heads right now. We're not closing, so don't get your hopes high right yet. Lord, we just come right now and we just pray that for this church. Lord, it doesn't have to be weird. It's not something that we have to be afraid of. It's something that's beautiful. I think of the words of David when he said, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And that's what we're talking about. People who are able to encounter God and taste and see that he is so good. And Lord, I just pray for us as a church that we'll be able to grow in those areas where your presence is here every week. And God, that you're the one dealing with people's hearts. God, that you're the one seeing the hurting and the broken. And God, it's you that's coming and beginning to heal and to mend and to restore. And God, I just pray, God, that you would just begin to do some amazing, fresh, new things in this church. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, I just can't go, forward without saying this. You know how, by the way, does anybody know one of the vehicles that God uses to send his presence to a group of people? Does anyone know? One of the vehicles that God uses, he uses the praises of his people. It's when people begin to praise and they begin to worship God that God begins to descend and God begins to move. So that's why we encourage you just to engage in worship. Begin to worship the Lord. Begin to stretch yourself, because it's in our praise that God comes and he does amazing things. Last thing Carrie says about what this generation is looking for, and it is this one, the one we've been talking about for several weeks, is that community will matter. It's not going to just be a buzzword. It's not going to be just a trendy thing. For the young people of today, community matters, and it matters big time. Okay? Let me read them just out of the article. He says, in the future, the church will function more like community. I think that's what God's been laying on my heart the last 5 weeks. We got to function more like a community. Community. Carrie goes on to say, not just random individuals who gather in common space for an hour each week. That's nonsense. And not just a community of insiders who are indifferent to the world. That's not what God wants either. He said instead, check out what he says here, instead the future church will be a community of people who serve together, they give together, they invite friends together, and do community beyond Sunday as well as on Sunday. And above all else, it will be a community that is continually welcoming new friends and welcoming new families. He said, among practically every person under 30 I talk to or listen to, he said, there's this longing for authentic community. And I know that because I have a son that is 21 years old, and he's found a church in Chicago. And when we talk on the phone, you know what he talks about more than the sermons and the music? He says, Dad, you'd love this church. It's about community. And that's a son that I was concerned about what his life would look like when he left the nest of our sheltered Christian home. And he went to probably one of the top five most liberal schools in the nation, DePaul, where they represent over 150 different religions. So I'm like, God, should I have intervened and said, no, don't go there? But I didn't feel like God was saying that. But you know what? He found a church. He found a church. I mean, nobody else is excited about this but me and Heather. He found a church. Well, thank you, Sheila, for that courtesy clap. And more than a church, he found a community of people that are embracing him and letting him into their world. Folks, we have all this to your right, my left. It's not that wall, by the way. It's the university. It's the campus. And on this campus, there's these people, you know what? They've probably been to church before. They've probably been to church and they were turned off before. They're just down. They're saying, that's no good. Nothing good. Nothing relevant happens. You know what they're looking for, you guys? They're looking for community. And not just those young people. I'm 55. And you know what I want? I want community. Do you want community? He says it will be authentic community, a desire to connect in person. They don't want Facebook. They're not looking for another Facebook friend. They're looking for real people, real in depth. Are you hearing me? He says, listen to this. He says, the church that figures out how to bring old and young together at the table, Christians and non-Christians in backyards, meaning it's not always going to be in church, and the mature and the just starting out together in friendship will become a light to the many in their community. So we need to be community in here. We've been talking about it. We can't just move on from the series and say, well, we talked about community. That means we're going to be community. Well, it doesn't work that way. That means we got to do something to make it happen. So let me ask you a question. Please don't answer out loud. Do you want community? Is there something in you that says, you know what, I want to be together with other believers. I want to spend time with other believers. I want to connect with other believers. So how are we going to do this? Well, I'm going to give you one idea this morning, and then we're going to be done. Yeah, you're seeing it right, so it's not a mistake. You know what those are? Those are French silk brownies. Don't those look good? Unless you're hanging out with those healthy people. Stay away from those people. You know what we need here? We need this. Those are strawberry pretzel desserts. We need those things as a church. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And then we're going to walk home, okay? No. That's what we need. We need French silk brownies, and we need strawberry pretzel desserts. And everyone said, have a great week. Know what I mean by that is, here's an idea that's come actually generated with Grant. It's generated in a couple workshops that I've been at recently. And that is that we need to be a place where people can come and connect. And I'm thinking about in the fall that one of the things we want to do is we want to begin to have people who open up their homes and invite other people in maybe once, twice a month for what I want to call dessert ministry. Does anybody love dessert ministry? How many people love dessert fellowship? You guys aren't helping me at all here this morning. How many people love dessert fellowship? I want to let everybody know I'm into the Bible. And I'm into Bible studies. But I think sometimes we even need to start for some people even a little simpler than that. And so what I'm suggesting come the fall, and you can start earlier than that if you want, is that we begin to be a church where we begin to open our homes to other people once, twice a month. And we begin to go over people's houses and begin to have these dessert fellowships, the brownies, the good strawberry stuff, and we get to know one another. We get to know one another. I'm suggesting when our college kids come back in about 3 months that we have families right now that begin to rise up and say, you know what, I'm ready to adopt a couple college kids. I told Nolan, I've already adopted Ross, Jalen, and Keegan. My boys are going to be gone. Heather and I have 3 new boys. Ross, Keegan, and Jalen. We've done this with them already, but we're going to do more of it this next year. And I just want to encourage you, what I'm asking for this summer is I'm asking for you to think about this. I'm asking you to think about, would you open your home to be a host home? Would you open your home to say, you know what? I'm willing to take on a couple college kids. I'm willing to take on a few people from the church even that sit next to me every week. I'm willing to maybe once a month say, I'm going to get to know people in real, authentic community. So I want some of you people just to begin to just think right now, begin to, and if you feel like that's something God's calling you to do, I want you to come and approach me in the next couple months and say, you know what, Mike, we're going to open our home. We're going to be a host home. We're going to be a host home to some college kids. We're going to be a host home to some of the people that we sit by each and every week. You come to me and you define what kind of group you want. Do you want it to be college kids based or do you want it to be church family based? You make the decision. But I think it would be great if there was like 8 to 10 groups come September that would say, you know what? It's time. My nest is empty. We're going to start inviting some people over to the house. And I'm not suggesting you're going to lay out the Bible and you're going to do a word-for-word study of Scripture. I'm saying you're going to get to know people. You're inviting people over for one reason, to get to know them. You're going to get to know one another. And we're going to try to make this a church that we value community. We value community on Sunday, but outside of Sunday. So I just want to challenge some of you. I'm just dropping a little deposit on your lap this morning to say, you know what? I'm going to talk to my spouse about that. Maybe it's just you. You can open your house, one person. But I just want to encourage you. And then maybe we'll have a sign-up list at midsummer saying, those people say, I want to be a part of this. Because I realize not everybody's going to be gung-ho about this. That's not where you're at in life. But I realize there's a lot of people that say, you know what? I want to be included in one of those groups. I want to be included in one of those groups. I want to be included with that group that doesn't have a cat at their house, okay? But I just want, like us. But anyway, I just want to just encourage you. So I'm just setting before you today that we need to be a church where it's about building this community. That's what people are looking for. And you say, we're so connected. We're connected by Facebook. We're connected by Instagram. Over 2 billion people out of a world of 8 billion people, 2 billion of those people are connected on these social media networks. But how many people know we need people with skin on? We need people that we can touch. We need people that we can just share our hearts with. And that's what I'm asking for us as a church. Will we be challenged? Will you accept the challenge that we're going to grow in these areas that we talked about this morning? A church where people can come and experience God, and a church where we can experience community together. And my prayer is, God, you do this in us. God, begin to speak to people. Begin to speak to people. So can we bow our heads this morning as we, I think we're going to close this this series today. I'm pretty sure. Okay. So Lord, I just pray for us as a church. I just thank you for people who are here on a Memorial Day weekend. God, that's incredible. And Lord, I just thank you for them. And I just thank you for what you want to do in this church. Lord, I think of Ephesians where Paul says, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we could ask, think, dream, imagine. God, I believe that we haven't even begun to even scratch the surface of what you want to do in this church, in people and through people. And God, I just pray for a moving of your spirit, not a moving of Mike's influence or manipulation, but I pray that for an authentic move of your spirit, that you would begin to stir things up in this body. I pray that there'd be the wind. One of the ways the Holy Spirit is expressed is that there's a wind. There's a breeze that blows that is very wonderful. And God, I just pray as we move forward and we begin to use this summer to be a planning time for the fall, I pray that you'd speak to people, say, yeah, that's me. I think we can do that. We'd like to have college students. We'd like to have other people that I sit next to each week. I want to get to know them better. I want to go on life journey together with them. And God, I just pray, God, that this would not be a Mike thing, but this would be a spirit thing, a God thing. And Lord, we just thank you for this time together. May this be a church that we love one another, that we're in unity together. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said together, amen. Amen.